Welcome to Homeground. I'm Brian Kahn. Suppose we had a tool that could predict people's future problems, behavioral issues like smoking, alcoholism, drug abuse, mental health problems like depression and suicide, and even illnesses such as obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. If we had such a tool, how could we use it to reduce the predicted problems? In fact, we may have such a tool. It's called the ACE test. In this case, the letters ACE stand for Adverse Childhood Experiences. Here to discuss it with her, Dr. Elizabeth Kolstad, Chief Clinical Officer of Intermountain, a residential treatment program for abused and disturbed children, and Todd Garrison, Director of ChildWise Institute, a not-for-profit that provides protection, prevention, and advocacy for vulnerable children. Dr. Kolstad, it's good to have you back with us on the program.
Nice to be here, Brian. Thank you.
And Todd Garrison, we haven't had you on Homeground before. Tell us a little about your background, where you grew up.
Thanks very much, Brian. I grew up in Southern California, middle-class family, two brothers, and sunny California surfer kid.
Sounds pretty mellow.
It was.
What's your education?
I don't have any formal education as far as college goes or university. I was in the first draft for Vietnam and decided to go into the Air Force at that time. So I went into the Air Force. When I got out of the Air Force, I went into the workforce, wound up in the world of business and in venture capital specifically, moved to Montana 15 years ago.
Before you went into the Air Force, if I was to ask you what kind of values you'd learned growing up that were important to you and still stay with you, what would you say?
Good question. I tell you, I learned character, integrity, and honesty. I lean on that. I learned, my parents modeled that for me, and that's a big part of my life.
And then in terms of venture capital, we haven't had many people on the show over going on 18 years who were venture capitalists. What'd you learn from that?
What attracted me to venture capital was to work with these visionary people who had technologies in mind and were developing, and risk takers. So I got involved in venture capital, working with these kinds of people in biotech and communications and medical device and all different kinds of industries, working on products that the public doesn't know about for 5 years. So it was really fun.
How does one leap from venture capital to working on this project to involve and help children at risk, I'll say? What's behind that?
I've never been asked that question in the phrase of a leaping, but I think it was a leap in some sense, but I think most people care about kids, so it wasn't a leap in that sense. My wife and I have four children ourselves. But in 2000, I read a book called Purpose Driven Life that made me rethink who I was working for and why, and decided to take the talents, skills, abilities, and gifts that I had to work for some place, some organization with a greater meaning and purpose than me. And so I joined Intermountain, where Liz is the chief clinical director, a little over 10 years ago.
Intermountain's been around, I think, around
105.
That's a fair piece of time.
It is.
Now, there's a new organization been launched by Intermountain. Tell us about it.
Correct. ChildWise Institute, we incorporated December of 2010. And then we I began building the infrastructure, building out a board and a staff in 2011. And then we hit the ground running really in January of 2012. And the purpose of forming ChildWise Institute by Intermountain was Intermountain deals with children with mental health disorders, emotional disorders, and they're kind of the trauma center, if you will, in treating the wounds. So Intermountain decided we needed to start an organization for the bigger picture of advocating for change for these children and raising awareness and accelerating knowledge around these child well-being issues. So ChildWise is an independent 501c3, that's an IRS classification, nonprofit. We have our own staff on our own board and our own mission.
How many staff?
Two of us. So we're a pretty big organization right now.
And a budget?
Our budget is about $200,000 a year.
And how would you summarize the activities, mission, and how you move toward that mission?
Our mission really is to have a committed society toward the well-being of children, elevating the well-being of children. So our activities primarily are involved in accelerating knowledge of best practices, treatment, things like the ACE study, the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study, and advancing awareness of all child well-being issues, and then advocating for change. So with the staff of just two of us, we're very, very busy.
Yeah, you also have a program called Elevate Montana.
Yes. Now,
what's the connection between Childwise Institute and Elevate Montana?
Elevate Montana is simply a campaign. So we launched the campaign Elevate Montana to elevate the well-being and futures of our children. We decided to start that last September when we hosted the ACE Study Summit here in Helena. But it's a multi-year campaign. We collaborate with many other people and organizations and hope to create a movement. We don't create a movement. That's something that starts on its own. But we want the words Elevate Montana on the lips of everybody in Montana a year from now.
Sometimes it takes a catalyst to start a campaign.
It does. We hope we're the catalyst.
Let's talk about this ACE study that I mentioned at the top of the show. First, let's talk about what it is, and then we're going to talk about how it fits into your strategy. So what is the ACE study?
The ACE study, called the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study, is scientific research linking what happens to us adversely as children to negative health and social outcomes as adults. It originally started in 1985 by Dr. Vincent Folletti in San Diego out of Kaiser Permanente, and it was an obesity research and program. And Dr. Folletti discovered that deep into the program, about 50% of the people were dropping out. So he started asking questions and discovered that many of these people who were dropping out of the study were doing so because they started to, in their eyes, become attractive, which made them vulnerable. And more questions led to the discovery that most of those people had been sexually abused as children. He eventually met Dr. Robert Anda not too long after that, who was with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And coincidentally, Dr. Anda was doing a study on childhood trauma linked to coronary disease. And these two heads got together and said, well, there's a lot more we need to learn and understand. And so the ACE study was born.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We're talking about the Adverse Childhood Experience Test and proposed remedial responses with Dr. Liz Kolstad of Intermountain and Todd Garrison of the Childwise Institute. Dr. Kolstad, let me ask you, as a professional, what's your sense for the methodology and findings of the ACE study? Help us understand it.
Well, Brian, it's extremely sound from a scientific point of view. The original sample size was 17,000 individuals who were covered by insurance by Kaiser Permanente. And those individuals were of, basically the average age was about 57 years old, and most of them were college educated. So these were normal middle class folks that were not presenting with physical or mental health issues. So from that point of view, it was a good sample of a normal group of individuals.
And I didn't realize that they were adults, 57 years old.
Yes.
Okay.
So these are people who are employed, responsible, have gone to college, they're adults. And they're being asked to look back on their childhood and answer in the original study over 100 questions. The questions and the responses and the physical health conditions were then analyzed by multiple regression analyses to come up with what were the questions that most accurately predicted the physical health disabilities that they were looking at. So there were multiple levels of statistical analysis. And from that, those analyses came the 10 questions about adversity in childhood. The other important part is this is extremely replicable. Pretty much every state, I think there's four states left that have not done this with their population. Yeah. Montana has done this with our population, and we have found almost the same results. The data are incredibly consistent across state-to-state populations. So just as in the original study, there were about 16% of those 17,000 people that had an ACE score of 4 or more.
That means 4 of these adverse childhood experiences out of the 10.
Out of the 10, yes.
If they had 4 or more, then what?
If they had 4 or more, there's a much greater likelihood of heart disease, diabetes, early death, workforce inability, that is that they were not productive at work. So there's a series of, and each of those categories has a different number associated with it.
Let me just jump in here and let our listeners know. I have a sheet that's called The Truth About ACEs, What Are They? And I'm just going to read the 10.
Please.
Physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse is one category. Neglect, physical neglect and emotional neglect. Household dysfunction has 5, mental illness, an incarcerated relative, mother treated violently, substance abuse, or divorce. So if I'm understanding you correctly, if you have 4 or more of these in your background, there is a substantially higher probability of things like diabetes and heart disease. That's quite a stunning finding.
It was a stunning finding, and it remains a stunning finding.
What's the analysis? Why would physical abuse, to pick one, translate into heart disease? Is there a common element to these things that leave people scarred?
Yes, there is a common element. There are actually 2 common elements. The biggest element is the effect of a stress hormone called cortisol. And that cortisol regularly going throughout one's body as the child is developing has toxic effects on different parts of the body. So it can reduce the parts of the brain that are associated with memory. It can reduce the parts of the brain that are associated with learning and inhibition of behavior. It can increase the parts of the brain that are associated with an anger response. So chronic toxic stress actually changes the development of the brain. That's one piece. And when the brain changes in that development, the way the child continues to see the world changes.
Right.
So that means that cortisol affects heart. It affects all of your organs. It affects your immune system. So you're going to be more likely to become ill as an adult with some sort of infectious disease. So that It affects all systems. Not only does it have that immediate effect on brain development and physical health, it can have what's called an epigenetic effect, meaning that that kind of cortisol, that kind of pattern of cortisol arousal, can affect the expressions of genes. So let's say you have some genetic predisposition toward cancer. But let's say you had an ACE score of 0, so you didn't have this cortisol floating throughout your body. Then you would not necessarily, that gene would not necessarily be expressed. But if you had the ACE score of 4 or more and you had that genetic predisposition, you're more likely to get cancer because it suppresses that kind of chronic stress level. It ends up expressing that genetic predisposition.
Okay, as a layperson hearing this and knowing you as a serious scientist and looking before the show at some of the data, it is quite shocking and stunning to me. And what I'm hearing, and I don't want to overreact to it, is that there is a cortisol artificially excessively stimulated can have these profound long-term impacts in multiple areas of the human body and behavior. Is that an overstatement?
No. That's accurate. And it particularly has those effects in children. So the developing system is more likely to be altered by those cortisol effects than a full-blown adult. So you could have these same events occur as an adult, and it may not have the same toxic effects that it does in children because the systems are developing.
Okay, and I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, that if you have significant statistical correlations, a 40% increase in this, a 20% increase in this for a ACE score of 4 versus 2. Those are statistical predictors. They're not saying you, if you have 4, will get it, but it shows an overall population many more people will, in fact, suffer these consequences.
Absolutely. Your point is very well taken. And as Todd has said in the past, adversity is not destiny. That there are protective factors that can intervene between the child and the adult. There are protective factors you can have as an adult. The other thing that I want to mention here, Brian, is that the third way in which these adverse childhood experiences affect adults is intervening variables. So let's say someone was hit and slapped often as a child and was insulted by a parent and was sexually harmed. That individual grows up with more anxiety, is more likely to smoke, may be more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. So there are, and may be more likely to get HIV from a dirty needle. So there are intervening variables. So we have the direct effect on the brain. We have the effect of cortisol, chronic cortisol arousal, on the entire system. And then we have the intervening variables that people use to cope with stress, alcohol, promiscuity, drug use, cigarette smoking, that also contribute to the outcome, the physical health outcome as an adult.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We're talking about the adverse childhood experience tests and its implications with Dr. Liz Kolstad of Intermountain and Todd Garrison of the ChildWise Institute. So we have this profoundly suggestive study, and someone might say, so what are you going to do about it? My sense is that ChildWise is an affirmative response. Is that fair, Todd?
Absolutely. What do we do about it is the big question, and not an easy one to answer. We started this campaign, Elevate Montana, to elevate the well-being and futures of our children. So as Dr. Kolstad just described what the ACE study is and the science of it, it was done with adults, but it was about their childhood. So our motivation is to spread the word across Montana about the ACE study. I want you to be in a coffee shop next year and hear people talking about the ACE study behind you. We need to get everybody aware of it. And the motivation there is we create a common language so we all understand what we're talking about. And then we have motivation to change things now for our children so they're healthier adults later on.
Let's talk about some elements of that. Some people might say, we're a healthy rural state. We have a pretty low-stress life. Our kids are in good shape compared to inner cities or perhaps reservation stresses. What do you say to that?
Right. That's a really good point, Brian. Thanks for bringing that up. The study was done in San Diego, California, as Liz had mentioned, and it was educated people with jobs and health insurance. 89% of them were white. I think of Montana as that family environment, as most people do. Big state, not that many people, wonderful place to raise your kids. I know people who have moved here so they could raise their children here. The Montana ACE study, which was done by the Department of Health and Human Services in 2011, the results were released about the first quarter of 2013. And as Liz said, our numbers are the same as what was found in the original ACE study. 40% of Montana adults have zero ACEs. 60% have at least one ACE. 17% of those of the total study in Montana had four or more.
And four or more is this significant break point.
It seems to be a tipping point in many of the outcomes, yes.
That was 17%, basically one out of five.
Yes.
Okay. I also noticed some data that suggested that Montana ranks very low, below average in child well-being and at the bottom in terms of child health. Did I misconstrue that data?
That's correct. Kids Count is a national organization with chapters in each state. Ours works out of the University of Montana. They released an article last July saying that we are 28th in the nation when it comes to child well-being. And, Brian, when I first heard that, I thought, well, that's not too bad. But then I thought, well, Todd, what if somebody came to you and said, we talked to your kids, we interviewed them, Mike, Scott, Heidi, and Amanda, and you know what? They're a little below average when it comes to their well-being. How do you feel about that? I don't feel good. So we should not be okay with being 28th in the nation. But the stunning thing in that article, as you said, was that we are dead last, 50th in the nation for child health. And we've done that 2 years in a row now. There are four pieces to that rating. The two that drive us down are we have a very high rate of teenage suicide. We're in the top five or top three states, depending on what year you look at, for teenage suicide, 15 to 19 years old. That's tragic. We also have a very high rate. I think we're in the top eight states last year of teenage abuse of drugs and alcohol. Those two factors alone drive us down to the bottom for child health.
So you have the study. You reach some conclusions. You establish an organization to deal with it. How do you strategically focus on efficiently utilizing your expertise and your energy? As you explained, you're not a large organization.
Right. Our key word for our organization is collaboration. So at the ACE Study Summit we did in Helena last September, and we are doing one at the end of May, 29th and 30th in Billings, a big part of those 2 days is to collaborate with others at the table with specific work to do. We want them to walk away with some ideas they can implement today.
Do you have contact information in case anybody wants to hook up with the Billings event?
Absolutely. They can go to childwise.org, and all the information is right there. They can register. They can see the full course description. Dr. Anda, by the way, one of the co-principals of the ACE study, is on the Childwise Board of Directors. We're very fortunate to have him, and he will be one of the keynotes, as will Dr. Kolstad.
Can you tell us specifically what your focused strategies are?
First of all, Childwise believes that the well-being of our children is the most important thing on earth. There are a lot of issues facing our nation, our world, and our state, serious issues that require some long-term solutions. We believe if our children are not healthy physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, those solutions won't come forth. That's why we stand where we do. We're built on three strategies, and that is to advance awareness of child well-being issues and giving the public something to do about that, accelerating knowledge about child well-being issues, best practices, treatment, and then advocating for a change for the prevention, protection, and funding around child well-being issues, which isn't necessarily only legislative change. It would be change within departments as well. We work closely with the Department of Health and Human Services, for example, on helping to create change.
Okay, to me sitting here, I have trouble understanding how those strategies trying to enhance child well-being gets into the family where these incidents are occurring. The adverse childhood experiences are very direct. We read them before. So how do you go from dealing with, it sounded like, government agencies, departments, social services, institutions, to impacting the lives of children in the home in these interactions?
Childwise, I like to think of us as the instigator. We are the facilitator of getting a lot of work done. Because we're such a small organization with a small budget, we work with others to get done what you're talking about. So, for example, at the summit that we had on the ACE study last year, some of the work that came out of there was, and I'm just going to read a couple of takeaways for our audience. One says, take the question, how are the children, to the neighborhoods? Ask them all to tell us what they need. So we're talking about getting in the communities. And each community, by the way, Brian, is different. So each community really needs to figure out on its own. They need to gather together. How do we take this information and help our kids and families? So it's a question that's not just for organizations and institutions. It's a question for the people of the communities as well.
I want to mention, too, and Todd, you were probably going to speak about this, is it's also critical for all people who touch families, that is medical providers. It's not just about mental health. This is about physical provision of health. And so teachers, physicians, community mental health and community medical health centers, St. Pete's, all of people who touch the family have the ability to administer the adverse childhood experiences questionnaire to their patient. So one of the proposals, and I'm going to be speaking at the Primary Care Association soon, one of the proposals is we could use the adverse childhood experiences questionnaire as a screener for a family who comes into a community health clinic. The talking is doing, asking is doing. It doesn't have to be miraculous. As Teddy Roosevelt said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. and simply asking the question, what happened to you, changes the dialogue instead of what's wrong with you to what happened to you. And it doesn't have to be much more than asking the question.
Yes, I have an example for you. The state of Washington has been using the ACE study in communities for a number of years, probably about 9 years now. One of our speakers is from the state of Washington to help us shortcut some things. There's an alternative high school called Lincoln High School in Walla Walla, Washington. You know, alternative high schools where society likes to kind of kick the kids that aren't doing well in school and they skip school and they're in drugs and whatever. Those kids, right? That's how society sees them. This high school has a population of 200 children. Alternative high school. And in any given year, normal course of business, they would have almost 800 suspensions. The principal got ACE trained about 1999, year 2000, somewhere around there. And light bulbs went on, and he said, wow, this is incredible information. So he had every one of his staff, including bus drivers, janitors, whoever encounters children there, you're going to get ACE trained. They got ACE trained. They got together and said, what kind of strategies can we use? What does this mean for our children here? What does this mean for us? What do we do differently? So they developed some strategies for their school. In 1 year, their suspensions dropped from almost 800 to 135. Their expulsions were cut in half. The children were doing better in school. This is maybe the more important thing. Now the grades of those kids in that alternative high school are exceeding the normal high schools. So things can be done. I'm hoping that OPI, Office of Public Instruction here, will put some of those strategies together. I know they have had some experts from Washington come in and speak with them. So they're definitely on this. We would like to collaborate with them maybe more on this, but I'm hoping that those kinds of stories will spread across Montana and be used in all the schools.
It seems logical that you need to move beyond professionals to parents of children. How do you get across to them the importance of this issue?
I think we need to move to everybody, not just parents of children, because all of us were children at one point in time. We are doing a billboard campaign in eastern Montana, a couple in Helena, a couple in Bozeman, and it asks the question, what's your ACE score? It's a billboard that will create curiosity, and anybody in your listening audience who sees the billboards can go to whatsyouraceScore.com. That's the beginning, is self-awareness, and then we can move from there.
What evidence do you have or what hopes that getting this information out can really help people get engaged and change things?
Let me give you an example, Brian. After one of the ACE conferences, a woman who worked at the Supreme Court in Montana came up to me and told me she was shocked that she now knew that she had six ACEs. And she took that questionnaire home and to her daughter and told her daughter, it's your responsibility to make sure that my grandchild has a zero ACE score. That's what it can do.
Dr. Liz Kolstad and Todd Garrison, I very much regret to say we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for being with us on Home Ground. And to our listeners, many thanks for being with us. We hope you'll join us next week. Home Ground is an independent production of Artemis Common Ground and does not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station. Post-production by Valtron Recording Studios. We welcome your ideas for new programs at www.homegroundradio.org. Home Ground is made possible by grants from the Liz Claiborne Art Ortenberg Foundation, Cinnabar Foundation, Humanities Montana, and the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication about issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans.